Breaking the Borderline Stigma. I'm Krista Nicole. I'm a life coach for highly sensitive women and women with borderline personality disorder, helping you to create a protective emotional skin to learn to love all of you and to let your gorgeous light shine despite the darkness. And by the way, I'm also a highly sensitive person and a BPD conqueror myself. Well, hello again, my beautiful BPD buddy, and welcome back. I am so happy to have you here as always. And in this episode, I want to revisit the topic of, did your parents or caretakers cause your BPD? Because if you listened to the episode from last time, I mentioned that I felt like I didn't really give you a good explanation of this, because the short answer is, yeah, they kind of did. Yes, they likely played a large part. And the long answer is, it's just really not that simple. So that's what I want to get into with you today. So happy to have you here. And let's go ahead and jump right in. Before I go into some of the information, I want to share kind of a very quick story with you. So when I was in therapy, and this was before I had even been diagnosed with BPD, I remember talking to my therapist about how I had gone to this gas station, I pulled into my regular spot that I pump, and got gas and was getting ready to leave. And as I was getting ready, a guy comes out and he was in the pump behind me. And I hear him say to the person in the car, "Can you believe this bitch? Like, how dare I?" Because I will say that there were other pumps free. Now, we are creatures of habit. And that's essentially what I did. I pulled in. It was just a habit. I didn't think anything of it. And he, for whatever reason, took it personally. So there's a lot going on there, from a trauma perspective, from a reaction perspective, from both my reaction and his reaction. Now, I didn't say anything to him because it wasn't the best part of town, and I didn't want to take the risk of being shot or have a knife pulled on me, or anything like that. And I was there by myself. So, but I was still so angry because I'm like, really? You're that full of yourself that you think that me pulling into this had any fucking thing to do with you? It had nothing to do with you. And also that, you know, like, fuck you sort of thing. Like, that was kind of my response. And I was telling my therapist about this, and I remember him saying, you know, he fully believed that people are doing the best that they can with what they have in that moment. And I said, no, I think that's, I don't believe that. I think that's a load of crap. I think people can always do better. And I still stand by, I think people can always do better. However, I have changed my mind and think that people are doing the best that they can in the moment with what they have. And we can also do better. But I want to acknowledge that if you are someone who kind of feels like me, where it's like, no, that's like a load of crap, people aren't doing the best that they can with what they have, I want to acknowledge that when you hear something like that, when you hear that phrase, and you're in a place of hurt, and you're in a place of never being seen or heard, that it just sounds like and feels like total bullshit. Because we have been so scarred and we have been so traumatized. And I don't use the word traumatized lightly, because I know that sometimes, and even when I heard this verse, like, when my next therapist after that one I had been seeing said to me, oh, well, you know, once we get kind of your emotions in order and really more of my, and trigger warning here, but my suicidal ideation, once we get that in order, then we'll start to dig into the trauma. And I thought, I don't have any trauma, police. Like, I don't have any trauma in my past. And now looking back on it, I realized like how ridiculous that was, that I didn't think that I had any trauma in my past. Because we tend to, when we hear the word trauma, we tend to think about war veterans. And that is very true. And that's a very different type of trauma. The type of trauma that I'm talking about is the complex traumas, the death by a thousand paper cuts traumas. It's the little repeated acts and scenarios that we encounter every single day as we're growing up and as adults too, but it affects us more as children. But it's those little micro traumas that build up and those little micro painful learnings that build up and wear on our self-worth and wear on our self-love. They wear on our identity. And that's kind of the basis of how BPD forms. And those still are traumas, because I won't get into this too much right now, but essentially the body stores this up over and over again, because when we're not able to complete the trauma cycle, and it's the trauma cycle that I won't get into because it takes a little bit of explanation. But when we experience something that doesn't sit right with us, and our bodies are not able to fully complete that trauma cycle, there are chemicals that get stored within our bodies, and they sit there and they essentially fester, and that is stored trauma. It becomes layered on top of itself. So it's these complex traumas that add up. Now, we, from a society standpoint, are so used to these micro traumas that we don't recognize them. And let me just be clear, just because we're used to them does not make them okay. It's just something that so many of us, and I would actually argue that every single one of us, goes through, and so we don't know how to recognize it. And so it is very much a systemic thing. So that's why I say that, yes, your parents caused your BPD. And it's not that simple, because of the fact that it is a systemic thing. Society, at least Western society, obviously I can't speak to Eastern because I grew up in a Western culture, but Western culture and business, corporations, the business world, we have, in my opinion, essentially dehumanized the human experience. And I've said this before, that part of being human is having emotions. And we have, as a society, have told each other the patriarchal society has told us that emotions are bad. You don't show your emotions at work. If you're angry, you hide it. If someone is angry and lashes out onto you, then you lash out back to them. We don't learn how to regulate. This is something that runs deep. We don't learn how, we're not taught how to regulate, and this is not something that is inherent within us. What is inherent in us is an animalistic instinct to react, not to regulate. And that's something that I'll get into a little bit more in a minute, but also more in depth some other time. But we essentially are, unless we're taught how to regulate and manage our emotions and have command of our emotions, it's not something that is natural. It really isn't. And what we have done by essentially telling people that they shouldn't exhibit their emotions because it might make you feel uncomfortable. It might make me feel uncomfortable and I can't handle that. And this is not the place for that. We have essentially told each other that our emotions are not a thing. Like, you shouldn't have them. We're not allowed to have them. Any sort of unwanted emotion that could dysregulate somebody else. So it's kind of this vicious cycle. And so instead, what we're taught is we're taught to control our emotions. And our parents teach us this. And that is very different from commanding our emotions. Controlling our emotions looks like someone saying, stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. That's teaching your child to control your emotions, control them. It doesn't matter that you're having this emotion. You need to shut it down right now because I don't think that your crying is valid, even though that is a very valid thing to the child or to the adult for that matter. They have a reason for it. And I just remember even as a kid, I was like, I would say a kid, but maybe like a teenager, I always thought that was such a weird saying because it's like, well, clearly they have something to cry about because they are crying. But more of the masculine power patriarchal standpoint is that I don't see your reason for crying, so you need to stop crying right now. And since it's not a valid reason to me, it's not valid for you. And that is 100% so wrong. It's just so wrong. So when it comes to our parents or our caretakers causing our BPD, it's this sort of systemic issue that we're dealing with. So it's on them, but it's not 100% on them because if we're not taught any better, we can't do any better. And when it comes to the family dynamic, every family member plays a part. And when that is in balance with one another, when everybody's in balance and in sync, you reach a level of homeostasis. The problem is, I don't know that that is actually an achievable thing. There may be some families out there that are like that. I have yet to meet one. That doesn't mean that they don't exist. I mean, clearly it's like, you know, things exist out there that we've never seen or done. But all of my interactions with everybody I have met, I can tell you that I have never met a human being that I have really felt, yes, they had a very well-balanced family in homeostasis. So I kind of liken it to, if you think about like one of those spin tops or like a cheerleader pyramid from high school, if you've ever seen the cheerleader pyramids, and they all stack on one another. And have you ever seen one of the cheerleaders get off balance? And more often than not, what happens is the whole thing tumbles. One person starts to wobble and it causes the other person to wobble and then the next person, and then they end up all falling down. There has to be that balance there or it doesn't work. Another thing it kind of makes me think of is I had in my baby's cribs, there's, you know, if you've ever seen a mobile, it's this very soothing thing for a baby to watch. It spins around and around, right? And they just like to see the colors and the shapes. But if one of those stuffed animals or whatever it is hanging from the mobile, if one of those things gets hit or gets ripped off or gets broken, it won't spin anymore in a normal fashion because it's all been thrown off balance. And then it becomes very disturbing. And it's usually not something that can be easily fixed. Like if you lose one of the stuffed animals, in the case of my kids, I think there were four on my daughters, and they are all balanced weight-wise in a certain way. So if one of them were to come off, we'd have to find another one that matched that exact weight, right? So it's just an example of how delicate of a balance it is. And once something gets thrown in there, a wrench gets thrown in, and the wheels start to come off, it affects everybody. And that's how it is in family dynamics. So if you have one parent who's very dysregulated, one who yells and screams a lot, and another parent who's very dysregulated, that's going to throw things off balance. If you have one parent who's very dysregulated, yells and screams, and the other parent doesn't do anything to stop it, that's going to throw things off balance. So it is a very delicate cycle, but very delicate system, parenting system. And I don't know that it's necessarily achievable in today's society. Because the thing is that, and parenting is hard. Parenting is really hard. And so by no means am I shaming any parents on here. I don't blame my parents for the part that they had in it, because I am now at a point where I can understand and recognize that they were not taught the skills that they needed to be able to pass on to me when my emotional reactions were different from what was expected. Now, I will say that immediately, it's not like I took this stance. So you are absolutely allowed to be upset about the fact that you did not get the parenting that you needed, that you did not have the supportive system that you needed. And it's a way to process through that. So I am in no way, shape, or form saying, oh, just go ahead and move past it. Absolutely not. You deserve to work through those emotions, which you deserve to get loud and get angry and punch pillows. And, you know, certainly please don't take it out on other people, but you're allowed to be angry about it. And you can live in that anger for as long as you need. However, you don't want to live there forever. Do what you need to do to process it. Yell, scream, like I said, punch pillows, do whatever you need. Go for a run, punch a punching bag, scream at the top of your lungs, listen to some angry music, whatever it is, to help get that out of your system. And do that and process it as much. I mean, do it daily if you need to. Take, if you have an angry song that you really like, listen to it and scream and get it out and do it every single day until you just feel like you don't need it anymore. Because you deserved to have a caretaker who could meet your needs. And unfortunately, they weren't taught how to do that, because as parents, we rely on how we were raised to raise our children. And parenting at this point, we're talking about decades, centuries of shitty parenting techniques. I mean, if you think about how children, it used to be, oh, children should be seen and not heard. Like, that's absurd. This is a tiny human. Just because they're a child, you're basically telling them they shouldn't have needs. And if they do have needs, that's too bad. You need to wait until I'm ready to hear them. Like, that's ridiculous. And then just thinking about the parenting techniques that have been developed, in response to wars that we've been in, in response to famine, and response to racial tensions, things that society has never properly dealt with. And so we pass those learnings onto our kids, or our parents. Those learnings from their parents were passed on to them, and then our parents passed it on to us. So when it really comes down to it, in order for us to break this cycle of trauma and dysregulation, the onus eventually does fall on us. No one else is able to do it for us. If we want to be the cycle breakers, we have to figure out how to do it, because otherwise we just end up perpetuating it. And we can't expect emotional maturity from people who have never been taught how to be emotionally mature, and oftentimes lack the awareness of the fact that they are emotionally immature. One of the easiest ways I can think about this, and an example to give, is gaslighting. If you've ever heard of the term gaslighting, it is essentially invalidation. So, and that is something that is so hard, I don't want to say hardwired, but in a way it is, from a societal standpoint, the way that we respond to each other. It's things like, don't cry or I'll give you something to cry about. It's things like saying, why are you so sensitive? Don't be so sensitive. Oh, that didn't happen. I didn't mean it like that. You're taking it out of, you're being overly dramatic. It's those sorts of things that invalidate the way that somebody's feeling. And that is gaslighting. And it's making them feel like they did something wrong, when really it's just the emotions are coming up because that individual did something to you which caused this emotion. You are trying to express that it gave you this emotion or this feeling, and then that person in return invalidates that. And maybe they weren't even necessarily the one who caused it. I mean, I remember, like, in my case, a lot of times I would talk about situations at school that happened, and I would be told, oh, you're just too sensitive, rather than talking about why I felt like that. Okay, now how do we manage those emotions and validating, and, you know, all that, hearing things like that must have been really hard for you. You must have really felt alone. That wasn't what I was met with. What I was met with was, you're too sensitive. And that's gaslighting. And it is painful for me to actually say, because I love my mother and I love my parents, and they did the best that they could. And I would hate for them to hear this and think that I blame them. I don't. I know that they were doing the best that they could. And like I said in the beginning, I also spent a long time being really pissed off about it. I mean, do I wish things would have been different? Yeah, absolutely. But witnessing what I witnessed, and as I have started to explore this path and go down this road, I have realized that, again, it was something that was perpetuated by the way that they were raised and the way that their emotional needs were or were not met. And I would say likely were not, because up until this point, things have really been about survival. And when it comes to survival, it's, you know, are you physically safe? Are you sheltered? Are you fed? And then it gets into the emotional needs. And a lot of times it doesn't get into it. Like, it stops there. Okay, you're fed, you're sheltered, you have a place to sleep, you have clothes. And then that's kind of where it stops. It's like we don't have this emotional capacity as a society to take it any further, because we haven't been taught how to, and we haven't been taught that our emotions are valid, that we're allowed to be angry, and that we're allowed to cry, and that we're allowed to be sad about things, and it's okay to express those. And so I hope that that helps to explain a little bit more. There are so many factors and just toxic responses that as a society we have developed. And there's all various reasons behind that. Like I said, you know, war, famine, sexism, racism, all things like that. Those are all contributing factors, and they have, and it's really, people have been in survival mode. But all of that is to say that that does not mean that you are not allowed to be angry. You are absolutely allowed to be angry and mourn the childhood that you deserved. Mourn the loss of validation that you should have gotten for your emotions. And you're allowed to be upset about that. So feel the feelings. Get them out. Feel the feelings of not having your emotional needs met when you were growing up. Kick, scream, cry, let it out. Whatever you need to do, just don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt somebody else, please. But get it out and let yourself feel it. And it can be difficult. I know that. It can be very difficult because we want to stuff it away. And sometimes it's easier to ignore. But as we know, that ignoring is never the answer. It comes back in some way, shape, or form. Often it comes back in anger because the emotion of anger masks so many other different emotions, which I could do a whole podcast episode on that. But I hope that that has kind of helped to understand that how this has come to be, because BPD, I fully believe, I fully 100% believe that if we as a society were all taught emotional management, emotion regulation, and how to command our emotions, not control our emotions, how to command them, how to move through them and allow them to surface and process them. If we were all taught this, I do not believe that BPD would be a thing. Because at the core, what it is we did not have our emotional needs met growing up. And that's where it stems from. At least in everything that I've experienced, everything that I have read and researched, there are different theories, I will say that. But I fully believe that at the core, we did not have our emotional needs met. And if we learned how as a society to really accept our emotions, embrace them, feel them, process them, and be able to help others do that, then BPD would not be a thing. So my hope is that we will start to see a ripple effect of people who are learning how to do those emotional processing and emotional regulation, and be able to pass on those good skills onto our kids. The last thing I want to say is that living in the past, we tend to live in the past when we do not allow ourselves to move through our emotions. And living in the past is what causes so much pain. And you've already had enough of that to last a lifetime. So I really want to invite you and encourage you to let yourself process and mourn the loss of the childhood that you deserved, of the support that you deserved. Let yourself move through that, because once you get to the other side of that, that's when you can start to release that feeling of loss and anger, and then learn those healthy methods of emotional regulation and really let that go in the past and let the past be in the past. And if that is something you would like, I am here to help you. And if you would like more of what essentially this podcast is, but on a personalized level, that is what I'm here for. Please click the link in the show notes to schedule a discovery call with me, and we can talk about how we can work more together and help get you through this and really get you to a point where you are happy and fulfilled and able to emotionally regulate, and able to, if you are a mom, share that with your kids and help them to develop those healthy habits as well. Okay? I hope this has been helpful for you. Thank you so much. Have a great, great evening, great day, great week. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed the podcast and would like one-to-one support, sign up for a free discovery call through the link in the show notes.